Yes, I want to make mention to the, well, all the men's already out here. But there's going to be a prayer breakfast over at Rosner's this Saturday at 8 a.m. The Church of God puts it on as a unit, the Potosi District. And we're invited, and we've been going every year. J.D. will be there. I've got to go participate in some jewelry duty or potential jewelry duty. If I can get out of it, I'm going to. But anyhow, that will be at 8 a.m. at Rosner's, and it's for men only. I'm sorry, women, but
I know.
But it's about helping men, because if you notice in churches, just look around. Women are the predominant number in churches, and we're trying to get men stirred up for, about the things of God. Amen. Have you got your Bibles turned to Revelations? Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 through 12. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Good deal. Praise God. Did Donna turn that CD on? Yes, praise God. Here we go. Revelation chapter 9, verse 12. Verse 9 through 12. Revelation 12. 9 through 12. The great dragon was hurled down to the earth, and his angels with him. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. I'm reading out of the NIV. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. I'll read it again. The great dragon was hurled down to the earth and his angels with him. Woe to the earth and the sea because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about a battle that is raging among us, and sometimes even in us. And we got to realize that there is a battle going on. I want you to think about this for a minute. He said he's thrown down to the earth. He said, woe to the earth because the devil's gone down to you. He's filled with fury, which means anger, because he knows that his days are numbered or his time is short. Now, you may be experiencing fury in your life, anger of the devil coming against you. I don't know if this scripture is relevant for the time frame we live in right now, but I do know this, that we are in a time for sure that seems like that there is a lot of satanic activity going on. And the Bible bears it out that says in the last days there'll be perilous times, be dark days. And we don't know for sure that this means that Satan is pouring out fury at this moment. But I can tell you this from the scriptures. We are in a war with the enemy. And listen to some of the characteristics of the enemy. St. John chapter 8, verse 44. You don't have to turn there because I'm going to go rather quickly. He says, your father, Jesus said, the devil, talking to the religious leaders of the day, that he was a murderer from the beginning and there is no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of lies. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now listen, Satan is a murderer. He is a liar, and the Bible says the father of it. He is an enemy. He goes about like a roaring lion to do what? To devour. And I tell you, from my own experience and watching people's lives, I think that scripture fits, because I see people being attacked continuously. Now, a lot of people don't understand that they're under attack. And that's the part that's sad. There's a lot of people that's under attack that don't even realize they're under attack. And there's a lot of people that are experiencing the attack of the enemy and they don't know how to win this battle. But I want to tell you tonight, we can win this battle. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 while I'm talking. There's open spiritual warfare in these days that we live. But God has not left us without provision or without resources to combat the onslaught or the fury of the enemy. Whether we want to realize it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, or acknowledge it or not, we are in a warfare or a spiritual war with the devil and his demons. And I hope tonight that through this sermon or message, teaching, whatever you want to call it, I can open your eyes to God's truth that there is a war going on and it is against you. And not only there's a war going on, but it is a battle that we can win. If we don't realize we're in a battle, if you're oblivious to the battle going on, you're already whipped. Because if you're not fighting and resisting, then there's a battle going on, what are you doing? Are you with me? I want you to understand you're in a battle tonight. Satan has come down to the earth with a fury. And believe me, I believe that he understands Scripture very well. Satan's been around a long, long, long time. Don't underestimate your adversary, the devil. Now, I want you to understand we have power over him, and I'm going to talk about some of those things, but do not underestimate him. Do not take him lightly. Do not. I hear some people talk about the enemy as if he's a nothing and a nobody. Well, he survived a long time. And he deceived one third of the angels in heaven who was with God forever how long they were there before he deceived them. He deceived Adam and Eve, the first souls on the earth. And he's deceived a lot of people from that time to this time. He's deceived a lot of good people. He's deceived a lot of Christians. He's deceived a lot of Christian leaders. So we cannot underestimate him. We got to understand that he has an agenda, and his agenda is to bring deception. And the Bible said he is here to steal, kill, and destroy. And the Bible says he's a murderer, he's a liar, and he's our enemy. And he's looking to devour someone. But listen, God has not left us without resources. I've never seen such an open spiritual warfare as in these days that we live in. But let's look at what God's provisions are for us for this battle. Ephesians 6:10, I'm going to read both ways. I like kind of both of them, NIV and the King James. Finally, my brethren, be strong, verse 10 out of Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need to make up our minds tonight to be strong and to find that strength in the Lord. Here's where the battle line is drawn. If you never make up your mind that you're going to engage in this battle, well, you don't really have an option. You may think you're not engaging by disengaging, but all you're doing is forfeiting the victory. Come on now. Let me ask you this. If you were in a Vietnam War and you were a soldier, frontline soldier, and the enemy was coming upon you and you didn't fight, what would happen? He'd either kill you or take you captive. It's no different with the enemy. It's no different with the enemy, Satan. So the Bible tells us to engage in the battle. We need to make up our minds. We need to be what God says, and that is be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And this is what it says at NIV. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. We need to make up our minds to be strong and to find that strength in the Lord. Listen to me. It is a spiritual warfare that you are in. You will never win it with flesh and blood. Let me give you an example. If someone attacked you personally, you will not win the battle by attacking them back in the natural. That won't win it because you're fighting with natural means. You got to see this thing as a spiritual battle. And then, because God is a spirit, He says, be strong in the Lord. You got to see that you can win this battle, and you can do it with God's strength, not your strength. I heard a story about a Christian lady who became very ill, and she was vomiting frequently. I want you, please pay attention to this. If you don't get anything out of the rest of the sermon tonight, hear this one statement. Because this will win more battles for you than any other thing I'm going to say tonight. And it is this. There was a Christian lady who began to vomit, became very ill. And she was doing it very frequently. And I mean, it was to the point that she couldn't control it, and she was just, I don't know if you've ever had that come upon you, but anyways, she was running back and forth to the bathroom continuously. Sick, 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 sick. How many's ever been there? And as she was running to the bathroom about the fourth, fifth trip, the Holy Spirit arrested her. And this is what He said to her. He said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might," to the lady. And as she was racing to the bathroom to vomit again, the Lord spoke to her and said, "Put your foot down." Say that with me. Put your foot down. Either that hit the wall and bounced back, or there's echoes in the house. That's good. You're getting it. Put your foot down. So many Christians, if you get nothing else tonight, get this. So many Christians never put their foot down. Listen to me. When you decide to put your foot down, you're saying, "I'm going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Not yours. But if you don't grow a backbone and stand against the wiles of the devil, you will never win. If every time he comes against you, you tuck tail and you resort to natural resources and always go back to the natural and try to figure everything out and try to make it work out in the natural, best intended solutions never work out, because if it's a spiritual warfare, you won't whip it, you won't solve it with natural means. It has to be done through the Spirit and in the Spirit and by the power of the Lord. That's why we need to put our foot down in the Spirit. And He said, "Put your foot down," to this lady. She did so, reasserting her faith in the Lord's delivering power. And guess what happened? Her illness left. Every time we get attacked, if we run the opposite direction, we're not putting our foot down. We have to decide. There's a line drawn and say, "Satan, enough is enough." I remember a story of Smith Wigglesworth telling the story about a lady that was going to the bus station. And as she was going to the bus station, this little dog began to follow her. And it started following her. And she said, "Shoo, go home." Well, a little puppy just wagged his tail, and all the more. And you know how they get? "You go home, you little booger." Well, you start talking sweet to them, they ain't going to go home. It just kept going. And finally, he said he noticed that after about three or four tries of that, she realized that wasn't working. She turned around and she slammed her foot down at the dog and said, "Get on home, dog!" The dog goes, back home. I've had to do that with a dog I had. It would run you out to the street. I'd get halfway down the driveway and I'd roll my window down and tell it to go, go, go. It'd just look at you, wag its tail and run. Burr, burr, burr. And finally, I'd have to slam the brakes on, open the door, and jump out of the thing and go, "Get on back to the house!" Boy, that thing would take off like you'd beat it to death, you know. But I'm telling you tonight, if you never take a stand against the devil, you'll never know that there's power in the Lord, and you'll never know that you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Here's the problem. When we try to take that stand, we think it's in our own strength. It's not your strength. If you begin to tap into the strength of the Lord, begin to realize that it's not your strength. The enemy's not afraid of you. He's afraid of Christ. You didn't whip him. Christ whipped him. The blood of Jesus. But you got to know that you got power in the Lord. And see, you got to assert yourself. If you don't assert yourself, then he'll just have a field day with you. I said, we had a brother come in here one night on a Wednesday night. I won't mention his name because some of you know him. And my God, he was in such bad shape. His wife was gone on a trip, been gone for about a month. And he was just about to have a nervous breakdown. I thought that I was going to have to call 911. He was so bad. He was supposed to be going to Nebraska, and he couldn't stand up. He was so weak. He was so distraught. He was so beat up by the enemy. And I took him back in the office and I began to talk to him, and I just quietly in my heart said, "Lord, help me to help this gentleman. I don't know if he's having heart problems. It looked like he was having heart attack the way he was acting and stuff." And I just said, "Lord, I don't know what to do here." And I remember distinctly what the Lord said. He said, "Go start service, start praise and worship. And as soon as praise and worship gets going, you call that spirit out and you command it to loose him and let him go." God is my witness. I had two or three of the men of the church gather around with me, sitting about where you're sitting, Tammy. And I wasn't nice. I hollered at the enemy. Not him, at the enemy. Not the person, at the enemy. And he left this church happier than a lark and drove on to where he was and come back and told me how great he felt and how everything had went. Why? The enemy had him in a headlock and was working him over. And he didn't understand. Now, you may be in a place where you don't understand that you can be strong in the Lord. But I'm telling you, if you walk with the Lord for any time at all, and you've heard enough messages here that we preach on, then some of this ought to start dawning on you. And until you assert yourself and take what we're saying and do it, you'll never know if it really works. You say, well, what if he don't leave right away? Then you ain't resisting. Because the Bible says if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. And that word flee means as in holy terror. It means like a dog that is running from someone that it just shot it with buckshot. He will leave if you'll stand your ground. We need to make up our mind we're going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need to make up our minds that we're going to draw the line in the sand and say, devil, you're not going to get one up on me, and you're not going to take advantage of me, and you're not going to win this battle against me. Now, Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the full or the whole armor of God that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Did you know God has an armament for you? But look what he says. It's something very plain in here that we overlook. He said, put on. How many put their clothes on tonight? Thank God. No one did it for you. Nobody in here had their wife put their socks on for them, did they? Why did you put it on? Because it was the right thing to do. And you knew if you didn't do it, guess what? It wasn't going to get done. Are you hearing me? If we don't make up our mind to put on this armor that God has given us, it's not going to get done. He said, put on the full armor of God, or the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this version says, or against the devil's scheme. Did you know he's scheming against you tonight? Did you know he never gives up? He's always looking for weaknesses in his opponent. But God has an armament for us that'll take care of it. Our job is to put it on. I heard a story about a guy that was in the service. And I used to work with a guy. And he rode a helicopter. And he would go in as a medevac. I guess that's what they call him. And he run the machine gun. I think a 49 or 50 caliber machine gun. And they would fight the enemy back so that they could go in and get the wounded while he was shooting to keep them at arm's length so that the soldiers could jump out of the helicopter, run out there and pick up all the wounded bodies and shove them in there, and off they'd go. Told a story of a guy that was with him and didn't have his helmet on. And he was one of these guys that jumped out. As soon as he jumped out, a sniper hit him right between the eyes. Now listen, he didn't have his armor on. This guy wore his, he had dents all in his helmet. It was there to protect him. But if you don't put it on, it won't work. It doesn't protect you. Are you listening? It's just like going out in the wintertime. If you don't put on a jacket, which is protection from the cold, guess what? You're at the mercy of the elements. And it's the same way with the armament. Possibly if that gentleman would have had his helmet on, that bullet might not have penetrated him and he'd be here today. But I'm telling you that we need to put on this armament that God is saying, and it's for a purpose. Put on all of God's armor to survive and to win this spiritual warfare that you face every day of your life. I want to tell you something about people that are in the war, and JD's been in the service, and Sand, was you in the service? They teach you how to survive. And they tell you to always be on guard. Never get lax. Never take things for granted. In the spiritual warfare that you're in, if you're always so lax and so passive and you're not active, then guess what? Odds are you're not going to win this spiritual warfare that you're in. And you face it every day of your life. The battle, say battle.
Battle.
That means a war is raging. The battle is active. I said the battle is active. That's what a battle is. It's activity. It's people warring against one another. The battle is active, not passive. The passive soldiers are the ones that don't come home unless it's in a body bag. The devil has schemes and he has strategies. And you are his target. So you must put on God's weaponry and armor. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we struggle, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against powers of the dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Let me read you out of the King James. Some of you like the King James, so I'll read. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against rulers of darkness in this world, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You're not fighting men and women, flesh and blood. They are not your opposing army. Satan is. I'm amazed at how people will get off track and fight one another and miss the whole battle. Our kids are not our problem. Our parents are not our problem. Our siblings are not our problem. Our church brothers and sisters are not our problem. The devil's our problem. And we sometimes let him get us off track, and we find ourselves fighting a battle that's really not even going on. And he schemed and gets us into something that we shouldn't even be in. Listen, we are fighting spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms, places of influence, and we're fighting the enemy, not flesh and blood. You know, we often lose battles because we want to fight a person when the devil's actually the one that we should be fighting. We're fighting the wrong enemy. I wonder if the devil sometimes looks back and goes, "Boy, I started that one and I'm going to step back and just watch it go. I'm just going to let it go and see how far it'll go." We need to focus on who our enemy is, and that's the devil and his hordes and demonic spirits. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore, because we're fighting a spiritual battle, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand." I want you to understand tonight, let me read it out of the King James, that you need to put this armament on because the day is evil. It says, "Stand therefore," verse 13. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." Know this, that the devil is not a small opponent, so we need to put on all of the armor. Not some of it. I see some people, they're strong in parts of the armament, but other parts they're weak in. Here's one I'll give you. How many knows he says there's a breastplate of righteousness? Most people, they've heard enough teaching that says, "I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus," and they won't let any condemnation come their way, or correction come their way. And they'll be strong in that, but when it comes to the other stuff, they're weak. They don't even understand the armament, what it is, what it's for, what its purpose is for. Are you hearing me? So we need to understand what all of this armament is, what each piece serves a purpose, and how it all works together, and how it will cause us to stand, having to done all to stand. The devil's no small opponent. Listen to this. I want to say this. It says, "Stand your ground after having done everything to stand, withstand, having done all, stand." Why? Because some battles last for some time. As a pastor of the church, we as this church have been through some battles. And if I hadn't stood and folded and caved in, this church wouldn't be here today. You say, "Well, you think I'm not putting it on me." I'm saying I stood in the Lord. When all hell, the evil day was coming against us and this church, And I didn't cave in. I stand, having done all, I stood, and I'm continuing to stand. And I'm telling you, if you're going to win a battle, you got to make up your mind you're going to stand till you see victory, and it don't matter how long it takes, the devil will get weary and get tired after a while, and he will give in, and the victory will come. Did you know some of the wars that happened in the world, World War II, for instance, it was a battle, correct me if I'm wrong, JD, it was a battle that was fought by not just the U.S., but several other countries joined together to fight this war. And it took almost 4 years for the victory to come. Victory don't always come overnight. You got to be willing to stand. And having done all, stand. Because the devil, he's going to see if you mean what you say. He's going to see if you really believe what you say you believe. He's going to come against you and see if you're going to continue to stand, or are you going to cave in under pressure? Look what 6:14 says. It says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth, buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place." The belt of truth. What does that mean? It means you're on the Lord's side. His ways and His word are truth. We need to cling to them. Listen carefully. We need to cling to them without compromise. Ouch. Don't back down on the truth that you hold dear to your heart. Don't back down off the truth that you know is God's word. Stand on it. Keep it wrapped around you. Did you know the belt was what held all the other armament in place? It was in the middle and it kept balance to the breastplate and this part here that covered their legs. If they didn't have the belt on, then none of the rest of it worked right. So we need to be able to cling to this truth of God's word without compromise. That's what it means. Hold this belt of truth and let it be fastened around us, buckled around you, around your waist. Firm. And then it says the breastplate of righteousness. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about two things. He's talking about we are the righteousness of God. You need to get that ingrained in your heart. If you're born again, you're saved, you've been justified by the blood, you are the righteousness of God. It is a imputed righteousness, meaning that you didn't earn it. God gave it to you, and God credits it on your account, and you're righteous before God because of what Christ Jesus did. However, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. However, there's more to it than that. Let me give you an example. A policeman carries a badge of honor, doesn't he? A policeman carries a badge of honor that he upholds the law, correct? And that he's there to not only uphold the law, but enforce the law. We have a policeman in here tonight. And I think I'm telling the truth when if I say anything that's not right. David, you correct me. But he's there to enforce the law as he knows it to be. And that badge gives him authority and right standing with the district or the county that he is enforcing it on their behalf. Okay? So it's an imputed thing to him. Just like if someone gets deputized, it is something that is granted to them on behalf of the state or county or whoever deputizes them. Is that right, David? And it's imputed to them. They didn't earn it. They do earn it. They have to go through some training. But what I'm saying is this. Here's what I want you to see, is that our righteousness is imputed to us. We did not earn it. It is a God-given thing. However, look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. Look what it says. It says, if we know that He is righteous, talking about Jesus, we know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Now look at, while we're there, verse 7 of chapter 3. It says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Here's what I wanted to make the point about the policeman. If a policeman is supposed to uphold the law, and he's got this honor to carry this badge and enforce it, yet he becomes corrupt, then he's no better than the people that he's trying to enforce the law on. Are you with me? If we are the righteousness of God, we are. And yet we choose not to walk in righteousness. We know what righteousness is, don't we? There you go. That's what I'm trying to get a point. And here's my point, is that you cannot, this breastplate of righteousness that the enemy can't get to your heart, your vital organ, your life, the thing that keeps you alive, that's what the breastplate covers. How many knows that with a heart man believes unto righteousness? That's Bible. And if we choose not to walk in righteousness, then we don't have our breastplate of righteousness on. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And then the enemy has an inroad into your life. And I want to show you something that he does here in just a second. That's the point I want you to get in that. It's important that we are righteous, but not only are we are righteous, we do walk in righteousness. Now, does that mean we never make a mistake? No, that is not what I'm saying. I'm talking about there is imputed righteousness and there's a practical side to righteousness, which means living out what we know to be right. Now look, Ephesians 6:15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, or it says here, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? I believe, I've heard different people teach on this, but I believe it's because it says the preparation of the gospel. I believe it is a preparation that you have to take for yourself. You have to be prepared. Part of being prepared is you being here tonight at church. You're learning. You're learning what it means to war against the enemy. That's preparation. You never go into a battle. They would never send a soldier into a battle without first preparing him, would they, JD? Because they want him to win. God wants you to take time to prepare yourself with the gospel of peace so that when your feet will be shod with it, because your feet's what takes you where you need to go. And your feet, you'll be ready for the battle when it comes. Now listen, I said that we talked about the shield of faith. Look at verse 16 here with me, Ephesians 6:16. And it says in the NIV, and I'll read it out of both because the other one says something really good here. It says, above all, say above all. That means everything that I've said to you tonight, take this and put it above everything else because this one really helps you. And this is it. Above all, he says, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Everything that we do in this faith life that we live is done by faith. And if we don't have on all of this armament, he says, then you won't be able to extinguish, be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And this one says, extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, let me tell you something about this shield of faith. It was something that reached from way down here to way up here. And flaming arrows was of part of the weaponry of that day. And what they would do, this shield of faith was leather, had leather on it. And they would soak it in water. Now that made it heavy. But also what it did is when the enemy shot a flaming arrow, it quenched it. Are you with me? The enemy is always going to be shooting fiery darts. How many's ever been hit by a fiery dart? I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Don't be up here telling me about some of your bad self and some stuff's happening to you. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Someone says, no, I'm talking about physically. I've been shot with one. Bless your heart. No, I'm talking about spiritually speaking. The shield of faith is here to quench all, it says. Did you get that? You can quench all the flaming arrows or the fiery darts of the wicked one. This shield of faith is here because Satan has arrows or darts that are coming your way. How do they come to you? Well, they come to you as thoughts. Or, here's one, not just thoughts, attacks. Sickness. You know what you need to say when sickness tries to come your way? No, I believe Jesus took my infirmities, Matthew 8:17. And bore my sicknesses. That's taking the shield of faith and quenching that dart that was just shot at you. Here's another one. Defeat. No, I believe that I'm more than a conqueror. Romans 8:37. Are you with me? You don't take, you take, when the enemy shoots an arrow at you, you take the shield of faith and you go, quenched. 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 Why? If a fiery arrow hits you, or dart, first of all, it's going to hurt. And if it hits you in the right place, it's going to take you out of commission. Have you ever seen a Christian get out of commission? Have you ever been out of commission? And it's because we don't quench the enemy's arrows that are coming at us. I believe that I'm more than a conqueror. Ineffectiveness. No. I believe that I shall be a vessel unto honor, fit for the master's use. You see what I'm saying? Are you getting this? The devil whispers, the world's winning, the church is losing. You know, he tells me that all the time. You know what I say? Well, I tell you what he tells me when I go home. Wednesday nights I go home. Bingo hall, the parking lot's running over. Am I right? I mean, the one right there by that piece of land we're looking at, the one on the left there. They're parking out in the streets. And the devil will whisper, the world is winning. What do you think about that? You know what I say? No, Mr. Devil, don't think so, because Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. That's the shield of faith. That's what you got to do. Because if you start listening to his sweet lies and his whisperings to you, for long you'll begin to buy that stuff and believe it. And for long you'll give in and quit fighting. No, when he whispers that to me, I say, no, sir, the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. And guess what, devil? Just like that thing we showed Sunday, that I've got a pen, and she gave me, you pull it out and it shows those 250,000 people there, and shows that guy up here. It says, plundering hell to populate heaven. It's time we got on the offensive. Still always on the defensive. We're always being attacked, but we're never countering attacking. Instead of him always coming against us, we need to go against him. We need to plunder the gates of hell. Did you know that's what Jesus did? Let me read you something real quick. That's exactly what Jesus said in Acts 10:38. I'm quoting, but I want you to hear it from the Word. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Before I go any further, did you know God has anointed you with the Holy Ghost and with power? That's why you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, because you have the same anointing. Say same. Same anointing that Jesus Christ had. You don't have a different spirit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Let me read you this in a paraphrase way. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about plundering the gates of hell and freeing all that were oppressed and bound by the devil. You know that's what he said about himself? God has anointed me to what? Set the captives free? To heal the sick? To set it captive, set those free that are captive and those that are bruised. He went through the whole. He's done the same thing for you. We need to be like Jesus and be on the offensive. Did you know that a good offense keeps the defense, keeps the devil off balance? But if we're always laid back and we're not ready and we're not active, we're passive, guess what? You're a prime target for the enemy. It's when you're active that the devil's going to think twice about jumping on you. Huh? You know, I remember kids in school. And I played basketball, football, because my brothers all did it. And I had to keep up with my two older brothers. And I liked it. But I noticed this. The kids that really didn't participate a lot in sports and stuff, some of the other kids would pick on them because they were passive. I seen this one bully one time. He was a bully, bully, bully. 6'2", 3", skinny as a rail, but he just liked to go around picking on people and all the time. And this one guy, he was a nerdy guy. And finally, he just had enough of it. And one day he reached off and he socked this big bully 2 or 3 times in the face. And that big bully wasn't near as tough as he thought he was. He had enough. And if we want to win this battle, we got to have enough. And we got to say, we're going to win this battle. We're not going to just sit back and always be on the defensive and always be reactive instead of proactive. You need to be proactive in your faith. The world's not winning. The church is not losing. God is winning because God says we're going to win. Read the end of the book. Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation. Are you distressed? Remember this. If you're born again, you're saved and you belong to God and you're a partaker of this great salvation that we're partaking of. You will live forever with Him. No man or devil can separate you, according to Romans 8:35-39 says, nothing, say nothing, shall separate you from the love of God. When I say put this helmet on, this is where you got to protect your mind, because guess what? The devil, that's where he condemns you, is in your mind. You know what he likes to condemn people, especially newborn Christians or those who rededicated their life? But what about your past? What about it? What about it? I'll tell you what about it. God says He put it under the blood. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. He said He'll remember your sins no more. Then why are we going to let the accuser of the brethren sit around and accuse us? You don't have to. You got a helmet on. Huh? Take that helmet and headbutt him. You don't have to listen to that. If you're a new creature in Christ, the Bible says old things have passed away. You don't have to let Him beat you up and condemn you of your past life. Don't listen to that. You know why? Because if you're always watching what's going on in the past, you'll never know that there's a future in front of you. Hebrews 10:17 says, He remembers our sins no more. And then there's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And this is an awesome, powerful weapon which we need to use to stave off the enemy when he comes against us. You hear me quoting the Word. When people come to me and they start telling me issues and problems, I'm going to come back to you with the Word of God. That's all I know. And you know what? Listen to this real carefully. It's worked for me for 25 years. It's worked for Brother and Sister Miller for over 50 years. Then why can't I trust it? It's worked for God forever. Come on now. If God says it, God says it's creative power and it's alive and it's active and it has the ability to do what He sent it to do, it will not return void. If we believe it and we put it in our mouth, it becomes a sword in our mouth, and we begin to do like Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. When you come to me with your problems, all I'm going to do is tell you it is written. That's the sword of the Spirit. Anyone in here that's counseled with me knows that's all I tell you. I was with a preacher. I was on a preacher's council one time. And he brought us in, three gentlemen in the church. I was one of them. And he says, I'm taking a class in psychology to get my degree. He says, I want you to grade me on how I counseled people. And he said, I want you to be honest. I don't want you to... He told me this one story about a lady that started telling him his problems. And he started telling me what he told her. And I said... He got done, and I was kind, and when he got done, I said, excuse me, but he said, what do you think about that? Well, the other two, because they didn't want to tell him, they told him what he wanted to hear. Yeah, I probably would have done the same thing. I said, well, that's not Bible. What did you tell them that for? Well, I knew they didn't want to hear the truth anyways. I said, so what? You still speak the truth. Jesus don't lie to us just because we ain't willing to hear the truth. Come on, church. He tells us the truth. Because it is the truth that sets us free. You know what he called me? He said, you're just a more holier than thou. I said, I can't believe you're giving people that kind of advice. That's ridiculous. He got mad at me. I didn't say it in an unkind way, but I said, hey, if you're an oracle of God, you're supposed to be telling them what God's saying. They may not like it, but you still got to tell them. It took him about 2 months to get over that. He didn't hardly want to shake my hand after that. I said, well, don't ask me to be on your committee if you don't want the truth. But I said, you didn't help that woman. All you did is send her away confused. Well, she didn't want to hear the truth. I said, it don't matter. Ephesians 6:18-5. Here's what it says. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Let me tell you something about this praying in the Spirit business. This is when all the armor that you got on, and sometimes even though we are ready, we're prepared, we have it on. How many knows that there are areas that we have blind spots? How many knows that sometimes that the devil is scheming and we don't even see it. The devil's setting up things to happen in our life that we don't even know is fixing to happen. How many knows what I'm talking about? You walk into a trap, so to speak. But if you will pray in the Spirit, how many believes God knows? How many believes that He sees? How many believes that He knows the future tomorrow? He knows what's going to happen. He knows what the enemy is planning and ploying against you before and in advance before it ever happens. This is why it's important to pray in the Spirit. Having done everything else, He says, pray in the Spirit. If you'll pray in the Spirit, you're praying out God's will in the earth. I mean, God's will for you is to succeed. God's will for you is to overcome the enemy, not be overcome. He promises a lot of great things to overcomers in Revelation. And this is the victory, even our faith. He promises us victory. He wants you to have victory. He does not want you to be defeated in any turn. He never wants the enemy to get the upper hand on any of us. That's not God's will. So if we'll pray in the Spirit, the areas that we're not seeing, that the enemy's attacking us, God will see to it that we're praying out His will and that it's taken care of. Are you with me? So tonight, we can win this spiritual battle that we're in. And we are in a spiritual battle. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. It is proper anytime, anywhere, to pray in the Spirit on any occasion. And without this weapon, ultimately, you're going to lose the battle. Amen. We need to be prepared for the battle that we're in. We need to be active in the battle we're in. If you're on the sidelines, I beg you, get off the sidelines. If you're letting the enemy pound on you, don't let him. You don't have to. If he's gaining the upper hand on you, it's all because you're not taking your rightful place in Christ. Bow your heads with me. Father, thank you tonight for the word. Thank you, God, for quickening this word to each individual here tonight. Lord, in areas of our life that we may have grown lax in, I pray tonight, God, that you quicken to us those areas we need to shore up and make sure our armor's on and that we're walking and putting on our armor and we're walking out this victory that you've given us and we're praying in the Spirit, Lord, and we're doing all the things necessary to win this battle, Lord. And Lord, we're relying on the strength of the Holy Ghost because we're being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Help us to see, Lord, that it is truly when we connect with you that this spiritual battle takes place. We win it through your word, which you said was spirit and life. Jesus said it's spirit, and we win it with your word, God, because it is a spiritual battle. And I thank you, God, tonight, that when we leave here tonight, that you will imprint this on our hearts and our minds so that we'll be aware that the enemy is constantly trying to gain an advantage on us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Does anybody need prayer for